I just, first of all, like to welcome everyone here on this another snowy day. Well, I've got a pole to listen to. Now, I just want to make sure I can see everyone. Oh, that feels good on my back. But I like to walk when I talk, so that doesn't really help that much. Because of how we're working once a month, I always need to think ahead. I was kind of, what do I want to speak on the following month? And of course, then it's like, okay, now what am I actually going to say? But we talked last month, we talked about how everything is possible, or is it? Total. And talked a lot about how we can create and how it comes up. But you know, very often in life, and I was thinking about this, when we look back at the choices that we have made, how many of us have regret or guilt over the choices we made? Hands up for those that say, oh yeah, sure. How many of you, and you still carry that, right? Well, as far as I'm concerned, I'm with you. Because I'm a past life regressionist, and what I do in my past life regressions is usually in the life that they've been in, take them to the very end and have them let go of the guilt and the regret and strong emotions that they're carrying so that we can free them up from this life here, because there's a whole reason why have the importance of that. But we make these decisions, and it's only in retrospect, really, you realize every decision that you ever made was the one at the time you thought was the best for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't have made it. Just think about that. I mean, I look back and I think, how come I did that? But I have, many times, many years later, a whole different perspective as to how come I did that. But if I take myself back into time, into that absolute place, guess what? At the time, it seemed like either the only choice I could make or it was the only choice I wanted to make. I really wanted it that way. So what I found a lot of it had to do with, for me, was a lot of self-forgiveness that had to go on about how come I screwed up things and made a mess, or making myself go, getting myself in a knot because I'm really feeling upset over some of the after effects. Because every action we have, there's a reaction, right? So you're not acting alone. We think, okay, it's only me. But that's not the truth. Every action, every decision that you make has an effect. So the key is always to be in the present. I'm sure you've heard that before. And be clear as you possibly can. No matter what is going on back there. I remember the first time I heard about this is that any time you look back, you're playing probably the guilt trip on yourself. And any time you look forward, you're playing the worry trip on yourself. So here you are standing on some cross or other. You know, you're at the crossroads going, well. Key is to let all that go. There is only now. And now you can make a different decision. Or you can speak to other people about it. Main thing is to get your life working. And there's the best you can possibly do, be as happy as you can with all the things that come up. And some of those things, as the song says, it's not, you know, we've got a sunny day, but it rains. Now, I come from a country that had lots of sun showers. When the sun was shining, and maybe a rainbow over there, and down pours the rain, because I was raised in a subtropical country. Don't see that as much here, but I have seen it here. And that's very much like our lives. It's like, where are we standing? Are we standing where it rains? Are we standing where the rainbow is? Are we standing where the sun's shining? And what if we think back about the destiny of where we end up? How come we end up here? How come we end up with these people? Or the one person that can make life a little uncomfortable? Or how come I attracted this relationship to my life? And then you stay in that relationship that maybe is not the best for you. We all do things like this. Some people have charmed lives. I wasn't born that way this time, in a sense. A lot of people look at my life and think, oh, you were really lucky and you were charmed, and I believe, yeah, I was in lots of ways, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't hard. I mean, it was hard at times, but it got easy because I truly believe that it's not the event, it's how I handled it. So sometimes I have to sit myself down and have a little talk with myself as to what is it I want to do, how do I want to do it. Because I want my life to be affected to the best of my ability. And perhaps I can do more, perhaps I can do less, I don't know. I do what I can do. And I think that's what each one of us does. And that's where self-appreciation comes in. To be able to appreciate self. And that leads you to loving yourself. And that leads you to respecting and honoring yourself. Some of you may be familiar, I do a lot of transformation work for people. People come in to see me, sometimes with psychic tarot card readings, which is a good place to start actually, because we can see where the base problems are. But basically, to me, my major work is being able, when they come in and they have an issue, we can go in and psychically work to clear it, to make life quicker and easier, because everything is energy. And what I've learned is that we don't, at the very bottom line of us, love who we are. And that's why next month, as you will see by the little cards I have there for next month, it's about learning how to love yourself. Because what I find, the majority of people do not love themselves. They think they might, but when it comes down to it, they don't. A lot of judgment about who they are and what they've done and how they did it. Or just not really accepting the loving and honoring and respecting of self. Now, when we choose a spiritual path, which I did many years ago, which has taken me into many different roads, believe me. I remember being really young, well, really young, probably 9 or 10. That's pretty young in a path, when you know, I look back. And all I wanted to know was God, was, and I'm going to use the word God here, so if you have a problem with the word God, replace it with whatever you want to replace it with. I want to know if God's real. I was like everyone else at that time. We were sent off to Sunday school. Now, I wasn't in my body. Those of you, I'm sure, know what that means. It means I wasn't here. I was somewhere. God knows where. I woke up at 12, I always say. I was kind of conscious at 12. But I was wondering about God a lot. I don't remember what I was taught in Sunday school too much. I have no idea because I wasn't here, really. Kind of went... But I didn't know there was a force and an energy. I also knew it because my family was a little different. I had tales of my grandmother who had, my dad was born in 1903, so he was elderly when I was born. But my grandmother, who had died when he was 11, they'd left England, gone to Australia, and then they came to New Zealand where they finally settled and eventually I was born. Tales of what my grandmother could do through healings and automatic writings. So I had that kind of on the side paneling all the time. My dad did not believe in churches. My mother was raised going to Sunday school 3 times a day and said, Julie, the walks in never another church again, it was too soon. Those kind of things. So I had lots, but for me, there had to be something about this God thing. I wanted to find out about it. So you could say, I made a decision way back then when I was really young to figure out about God. For me, because I wasn't being shown the path there. I didn't feel great calling, even though I got confirmed and went to Sunday school for up to 15, and I didn't do church anymore until years and years later, and I was in a metaphysical church. But I'll tell you what I discovered. I discovered dancing and fishing. My dad was a fisherman. On Sunday mornings, he would go fishing, and he would bang on my door, "Are you coming?" And I'd get up out of bed real early to go out and fish. That was more fun for me to sit there with my father, because he was kind of a bit of an absentee dad. And then I played field hockey on Saturdays, and then it got to be that I would maybe play 2 games, and I was really tired. "No, Dad, not coming today." And eventually, he quit asking me, because mostly I was either out dancing late at night or something, and I wasn't getting up Sunday morning. There's still no church, right? And then I came to Canada at the tender age of 18, married a Canadian, had a family, but I was always found, for me, and the thing is to realize destiny is an interesting thing, is that I'm put in the right place at the right time. We happened to move with our 6-month-old baby into a basement suite. We were young. I think by that time we were 19 and 21, 22, something like that. And the next door neighbor were going to these meetings, something like this, where we had different speakers speak about different things, because they were at night time. and we had to get a babysitter and stuff. That was okay. And there was a person who had devised a brand new method of reading tarot as a self-development tool. I can say that now. Then I didn't know anything about anything. And ended up studying with him for 3 years. Put my path a whole different way. But it's like, how come we ended up in this place to have those people take us to this meeting? We've been to several meetings. But this person, something resonated with me. It was something I wanted to learn about. It's actually known as the Book of Life. And I have been studying it ever since. It's amazing. Everything of human nature is in there. And I've learned a great deal about how we, as these wonderful human beings that we are, if we just love and honor and respect ourselves, how we can get to understand how we work as a human. Our pluses and our minuses. How some things really support us and help us grow. And while we have other aspects that hold us back. So again, choices, what do we want? What do we want to do? Then raising two kids, husband in university, I didn't have too much time for my metaphysical studies. I was had to work. I was doing working, teaching night. I was going to school myself. I was one of those super moms, right? Could do, but I was young. Now I think, oh, crap. If I could just have a quarter of what I had then. I didn't think anything of it. Never got tired. Always enthusiastic. Always up. And then life presented another one of those crossroads where I had to make a choice, yes. But all of a sudden, something else was presented. And that was to go into a metaphysical store. And so we'd moved to Wright Rock by that time. I'm sure most of you know where that is, down on the coast. And to become their tarot teacher in this metaphysical bookstore. I worked with there for 6 years. Well, what I wasn't reading publicly at all at that time. But you know the interesting thing that happened? Was because I was teaching it, people wanted me to read. It wasn't my first love at all. So what I ended up doing is I began, as the years went by, to see that reading experience is a personal one-on-one teaching experience. And that, so for 6 years I was there, and I wrote my first book there, and worked on my second one, I think, too, as well. Maybe third, too. Did a lot of writing then. In between raising kids. Becoming a president of a women's soccer, a girls' soccer club, blah, 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 blah. But let's talk about that spiritual journey. I decided to leave. I left the store under, it was just time. And I decided I really wanted to have my own store in White Rock. So I opened a little shop. I'm just trying to think, did that come? I'm getting the time periods mixed up a little bit here. I think I'm a little bit mixed up. Yeah, I left the store, and very shortly after, I ended up on a TV show in Vancouver. My life never, ever looked back after that. For 2 years, I was on CKVU show, psychic show, every Monday. Pretty well for, yeah, we ran 2 years. After that, I had my own cable show for the South Surrey. Did I go seeking any of these things? No. Soon after that, I opened a store. And then I had my books, and I started traveling to sell my books. How do you sell your books? You've got to get a distributor. You know, mine was pretty homegrown in the beginning. And so during that, I began to travel with a psychic show. My son, by that time, is now just graduating. He's 17, doesn't know what to do with his life. And I said, well, come with me. So I made a decision for him, which he followed. He didn't have to follow that. But he followed that. And we did. We traveled, hitting different cities. And we would analyze what I did, what worked, what didn't work. And we traveled over Canada, the US. From that, I ended up producing the fish things for 11 years. Again, I went to Phoenix, and I think last month I talked about that. That's why how things are possible. You never know when opportunity is going to knock, and do you say yes or do you say no. But I wanted to still get the choice part. What is driving the choices? At 9 years old, I made this decision. I really wanted to know God. And I do remember, that's one of the few decisions I do remember making. I made another one at 10, by the way, of never losing my temper, because I hit my younger brother over the head with a toy rifle. And freaked me out so much that I literally remember making the decision, I cannot lose my temper, I will kill somebody. Now guess where that decision came from? My past lives, where I've done stuff like this before. I never lost my temper for 20 odd years, ever. And I'm still not a very angry person because that's not part of my modality, but I used to just suppress everything. The consequence of that actually was I developed a thyroid condition here because I didn't speak that truth when I was upset. But anyway, that's another story. Definitely another story. Decisions that you make do have an effect on how your life works. And the thing is, you make some of those decisions like that so fast, so quick, you don't even know you've made them. Most major ones I do remember. Or at least I look back and go, I have to figure out how come I made that decision. So you can say my life has had a lot of twists and changes and things, some great, some not so great. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is one of the things I'll possibly talk a little bit about this again next month, because we're talking about loving self next month, which I'm sort of tying into this way. That I had a spiritual experience where I connected into this love force of the universe, and it was so real that I knew in that moment that I was totally loved and everything was forgiven, and you know, it was kind of like one of those ha-ha moments that we get in varying degrees. This was like full on. I made an error. I thought if I went, because I knew in my heart that if I was loved this much, that anything I wanted would be given to me. Not true. Because you're still the driver of your life. I just gave up my whole thing of thinking, what we call is discerning anything. I just thought anything that was coming my way, I could say yes to, because it was there, because. Well, guess what happened? One disaster after another. Economically, ended up bankrupt. Personally, I don't know, everything just went out. And I had to do a whole lot of re-looking at my, I come from living a very great life. I had a big business, I had status, I did get divorced for the second time. That was tough, that was a tough one, but did do that. I'd taken care of myself finally there, thanks to some intervention from above. And now I'm bankrupt and homeless almost and not knowing what the hell I'm gonna do. Circumstances again, being in the right place at the right time. Now, you must remember, when you've lived a life of fairly being out there, well-known to a degree, to have some quote-unquote status, and all of a sudden I have to go and work in a mall with other readers working for not... It's funny, because I work like that now up in Kelowna. But my pride had to go out that door, up the stairs, outside. I had to let go of everything I had. I didn't think I was prideful. But I was. I had to let go of all that. Totally. Now, I created the circumstance because I had lost my discernment, thinking that because I knew I was absolutely loved, then everything was a yes. I wasn't kicking it inside and saying, is this what you really want? Is this, does this fit into your belief about life and how life works? That's what created that destiny. But on the second part of that, because I've taken this side trip, what came out of that was I had to take such a good look at who I was and begin to make some very different decisions. And believe me, it is not comfortable when you're sitting in a little area, in a mall, mall hours, those are long hours, and people would come up and say, Norma, Kelly, what are you doing here? Yeah, right. What are you going to say? I have to have this little bit of money I have to make it. No, I said, oh, well, you smile. Have a good day. And I learned, look after me, love myself, respect myself, honor me, because the bills had to get paid. And I had to rebuild. And then life started once more to offer me all sorts of other things. Now, there was some side trips I haven't touched on about being a minister and what happened there because I was too metaphysical and blah blah. So but the underlying constant for me, because what I'm always interested in is, what is the spiritual choice you're making? Is it just to show up? Is it just to say, oh, this is what I'm here for? I see a lot of people who really truly believe they're here to help people, and they come in to see me so deadbeat, because that's all they're doing, that they've forgotten to help themselves. So we had a little talk about that. We call them rescuers. Anybody here is a rescuer? Anybody own up to it? Come see me later. It's fine when you're in your, even into your 40s, it's fine. It's when you hit your 50s. Don't work very well. Most rescuers that I see are women, of course, but not always. We've got the white knight, we've got men in the audience, and talk about the white knight. The white knight that wants to go and help every victim woman that's out there. Unbelievable. Some people walk around with a little flag. I need help now! 24/7. And guess what? They come. White knights, they're precious. I love them. As long as they also are not running themselves ragged with people that only want someone to do everything for them. Independent women like me and don't usually attract them too much. But I know a lot of women who do. And then why would they ever claim their power when somebody's always willing to come along and rescue them? Because that's what the knight does. And we all need knights. We all need women here at the Earth Month. I remember this right now. I driven to Regina from Calgary. Has anyone ever driven that drive, 8 hours of driving? How many of you? Hands up. I'm not alone on this. The last two times I've done it, I swear I'd never do it again. Of course, I said the last two times, so of course I did it again. Anyway, I arrived at my friend's place, only to find out she's fallen down the stairs and broken her arm, and she's just back home from the hospital. The one thing I am not is a nurse. I am not a nurse. My kids could tell you that. They never were sick very often. Because they look after themselves. And I remember this lady, there were friends there, thank God, because I didn't know what to do. I was coming there to stay, spend 3 days there. And I'll tell you. Anyway, all of a sudden, this woman walked in the door, and I said, thank you, God. The Earth Mother had arrived. The Earth Mother walked in. She just took over. She had everything exactly where it should be. I stayed one night and left. Because I was useless, believe me. You didn't want me around. Because I can sit and talk philosophy all day, but know what to do when someone has to be fed or soup or something? Uh-uh. So we all have our purpose, and our purpose sometimes is different. But we all need everyone. It's just when we overdo it. It's when we overdo it. We have a choice. What we prefer is that you choose you. You choose you. And that means sometimes learning how to say no. So I have a technique of teaching people how to say no. So many people arrive, and I'll look at their birth numbers right away and say, do you know how to say no? Some of them lie a bit, you know. Oh, yeah. Okay. Then a little later, and I'll say, and you're able to say no, right? And this, okay. Do you want me to tell you how I get you to say no? I teach you how to say no. That's how I learned, because I was not a no-sayer. And that is basically checking with yourself. Do you want to do it, or do you know? Someone asks you to do something, but you don't really want to do it. Here's where the guilt and the regret comes in. If I don't do that, I'm going to feel guilty, right? But you don't really want to do it. So which is the worst of the two? So you say, I'm unable to do that right now. And what you've done is you've claimed a little bit of time. You may change your mind, because often they'll press. But after a while, you'll learn to say, I'm unable to do that today. And after that, you'll be able to say no much, much easier. So what do we look at here in this sense? It's because is to learn how to choose for you. Not just because it's there. Not just because of what. And what is that baseline choice you have chosen in relation to your soul journey? What is that purpose? What is that knowingness? What is that awareness? Because even with all my highs and the lows, miracles happen to me. Miracles happen. Even now. miracles occur, real miracles. Not manifestational ones, but in my life they're manifestational. And often very much in clumps when I need them. And so that's what I wish for each one of you, is that you're able to become clearer, to let go regret, let go guilt, forgive yourself for whatever you did, imagined or real. Sometimes we imagine things too, so it's like just to let it go. And I can see I could keep talking, but I'm not going to for a moment because we're going to sing another song. So if you can stand up for a moment. Oh, we're going to sing our second song of the day. Whoops. And my machine has to now fire up because guess what? It stopped. That doesn't help, does it? I'm going to say we sing a song.